Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Let's get one. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. You got Dev, Kill, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
We'll give it to you how you want it in a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics, sort of like the Rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five show on primetime. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the War Room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
Of the greatest sports show this side of Pandora. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports, of course. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me at the War Room Roundtable are my homies, Jimmy Williams. What up, Jim? B. Austin, where y'all at?
The greatest to ever do it.
Kill Bayon.
What up, family?
And my man, PJ, Paul Johnson, going to join us in a little while. Tonight, we're going to talk about all the crazy stories in sports on and off the field, the Pac-Man Sugar Shane fight, but mostly Bella, and of course, the end of an era in L.A. and the rest of the NBA playoffs. We want to hear from you guys as usual, so when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, call in and scream at the fellas. That number is 323-410-0012. The JW Philly Realty chat room is open right now on our Blog Talk Radio page, so get in there and join in the conversation. And as always, we want to give a shout-out to our other favorite show, The Broad Street Line. Listen to Roy and Chris every Wednesday at 6 p.m. or at whatever special time slot they brody for the week right here on Blog Talk Radio. Their show is TheBomb.com, as Tamar Braxton would say, so check them out. And if you own an Android or iPhone, don't forget to check out our free War Room Sports mobile app in the Apple App Store or the Android Market. I want to give a couple more shout-outs. One to our new writer on our blog, All's Fair in Sports and War, Brandon Pemberton. You know, he's been getting it in all week, holding down the blog for us. I want to give a shout-out to Crown Royal Barbers out in Brandywine, Maryland, and their little sister shop up in Upper Marlboro Village Barbers. Crown Royal, you call there and ask for Steve the Barber. If you need that number, hit us up later, and I'll put it on the Facebook page. So now that we got the business out the way, it's time for those birthdays.
It's my birthday. Yay!
Yo, right. y'all ready to jump right into these birthdays?
Let's do it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, let's first one I want to start with is Matt Leinart turned 28 yesterday.
My birthday. Yay!
Doc Bay, what you got on Matt Leinart, homie?
Man, he was supposed to be a great quarterback, and, you know, he went to the Cardinals, and things didn't work out. Old man Kurt Warner took his spot. Then he's caught on camera drinking beer out of, like, a hose with a bunch of co-eds, and, like, it all went downhill from there, you know.
Yeah.
Supposed to be.
Yeah. Dev, what you got, Dev?
What are you guys doing?
This is like Hill said, he was supposed to be a good quarterback. I don't know, when he got to the NFL, man, he just didn't seem to be that guy. His arm strength wasn't really there. I just think he may have been too preoccupied with the superstar lifestyle before he actually played like a superstar. Be awesome, would you?
Yeah,
think?
That's possible.
I mean, that's it in a nutshell, man. I just can't believe the dude's already 28. And, you know, he's on the other side of his career unless he revives it. But time is moving
like,
so fast. I see him out of the league in the next 2 to 3 years. I see him out of the league.
It's funny you say that because it seems like his career never got started, but it looks like it never will get started because I totally agree with you, yo. But let's move on from that noodle. Yo, the next birthday is the Panthers. Steve Smith turns 32. Dev.
Underrated.
Dev, what you got for Steve Smith, Dev?
This is Panther Steve Smith. Steve Smith was already – he was always a really good wide receiver, especially to be small in stature. Like, he was tougher than you thought he might be, since he was, you know, he's only like 5'9" at best. I don't know what his weight. He wasn't exactly like a skinny dude. He wasn't DeSean Jackson, so I can see why he was so tough. But it seemed like the last few years of his career have been kind of marred with injuries, and he's kind of an ornery dude, man. Like he's never
and he beat up and he beat up a couple of his teammates.
Yeah, like something wrong with dude, man.
Austin probably knows short shuttle time and all that kind of nonsense. So what you got on him, Austin?
He's kind of a football player. I mean, he's little in stature, but he's big in heart. He plays hard. He never complained about having to play for or with Delhomme, which Jake Delhomme is probably the worst starting quarterback to ever live. Dude's a good dude, man. He's a stand-up guy. Because I know in the locker room he probably was ready to jack Delhomme up probably about 4 or 5 times. But he always said positive things about him in public. So I hope he gets on a good team and gets a bowl, and I wouldn't even consider it chip chasing. Go ahead.
Yo, if he was 6'5", he'd probably be the best receiver in the league. But, yo, Doc Bay, what got on him?
Yo, I got, like, 3 things. Remember that year, let's say 2005 or 4, he was beating defenses so bad that he ran out of end zone dances and started, like, punching the punching the goal post thing and, like, sliding down it. And then he looks like Omar Gooding off of Playmakers. And then the last one, yo, after he broke his leg playing flag football, he came back faster in his 40 time.
Because he on that Barry Bonds.
What they do there? Yo, anyway, shout out to him. Next birthday is Lawrence Phillips. I'm going to start this one off.
Yay!
When I think of Lawrence Phillips, it has nothing to do with football. I remember Lawrence Phillips got arrested because he was in a pickup football game in L.A. and got in an argument with these 3 dudes, and then he got arrested for trying to ride him over in his car. Yo, what kind of argument do you get into in a pickup football game that you try to ride over somebody with your car? Because what are y'all arguing about? That's what I think of with Lawrence Phillips, though.
Are you an NFL Austin player playing pickup football games? What the hell is a pickup?
Austin, what you got on the ball, man?
Yo, I wish that we had the 50 Cent song on, and I'm not a 50 Cent fan, so I don't quote his songs and remember the title of this song, but there was a lyric that said, "Damn, homie, in high school you was the man, homie. What the hell happened to you?"
That was Wankster. Go ahead, though.
Yo, thanks, Jimmy. I don't even know. Lawrence Phillips, what can you say about dude? He was a head case from the gate and complete bust. But it's even more than just being a bust. Like, dude has something mentally and emotionally wrong. Like, he's unstable. He had a problem with raping and touching girls, but he didn't have the same advice and support that Ben Roethlisberger had, so didn't work out for him.
I'm hurt.
Damn. Done.
I'm good. I spoke my piece.
Doc Bay, you got any more?
Touching and raping.
Yo. I was going to say, it's obvious, you know, as Brad alluded to mentally, I'll take it even deeper from my man Dr. Amen. It seems like he had too much activity in his temporal lobe, which leads to over-aggressiveness and anger, and he had not a lot of activity in his prefrontal cortex, which led to ridiculous and stupid decisions because he had no executive functions.
Yo, and this is why we call him Doc Bay, yo.
Yo, he is a doctor. He's really a doctor, folks.
Yeah, people say we just call him that. The boy's a PhD candidate, man. Yo, he be on some other stuff. Yo. Last birthday I want to talk about is one Lawrence Yogi Berra, 86.
My birthday, yay!
Let's go right back to the good doctor. Doc Bay, what you got on Yogi Berra?
Yo, I feel bad, man, because when I saw that, you know, Yogi Berra's turning, I saw that he was turning 86. Like, you know, so many people have been passing throughout the years. Like, I just assumed that he passed a few years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can dig it, though. I can dig it. Dad, what you got?
Yo, I wasn't going to say that, but since Dr. Bayon had the heart to say it on the air, when we got these birthdays, I thought the boy was dead. Like, you know, Yogi Berra was another, you know, in a great line of great New York Yankees. I can't really speak too much on his career besides of, you know, what we know historically and what we've read, but I've never actually got to see him play. I kind of know how he got his nickname, but I don't feel like telling the story because we don't have that kind of time. So.
Yeah. Well, real quick, I'm just gonna go real quick. I agree with you, Dev. Of course, I didn't see him play, but when I think of Yogi Berra, I think of this boy got the biggest ears known to man. I ain't never seen a human with ears that size. Paul. Yo, and the second thing I think of is, yo, y'all ever heard this boy talk? Because he don't speak English.
I was going to get to that.
Yo, he don't speak English, yo. He speaks like what I like to call Floridian, because a lot of the players that play for the U speak this way. No disrespect. But, yo, he speaks Floridian. I don't know, like, you know, I don't know about his background. I need to read up on it, but he don't speak proper English, good brother. Anyway, Austin, go ahead.
Yo, when I think of Yogi Berra, I just need a couple seconds, because the boy has some of the most famous and idiotically funny sayings ever. The most famous of which is, "It ain't over till it's over." He also said, "I want to thank you for making this day necessary." And he said, "It's like deja vu all over again." And when you get to a fork, he said, "When you get to a fork in the road, take it." He also said I didn't really say everything I said.
So basically we can tell right now that Mr. Yogi Berra didn't. I don't know what his educational background is, but I got another one.
He hits from both sides of the plate. He's amphibious.
Hi, Yogi Berra is a friend of the show.
Yo, I think Yogi must have had like early setting.
He must have played football before baseball, yo.
Yo, he also said we have a good time together even when we're not together.
Stop. I can understand that.
I guess it's safe to say that Yogi didn't go to a KIPP school. Because this young man, his foundation is kind of off. Anyway, that's enough of the birthdays.
Wait, family, one more. Our similarities are different.
I got another one. Baseball is 90% mental. The other half is physical.
Take it over because I can't breathe.
Yo, he's there too.
I'm about to let y'all know what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. All right, yesterday, I'm sure everybody heard about it by now, Robert Tractor Trailer was found dead in his apartment in Puerto Rico. He was missing for 3 days, so a couple of his friends went over to his apartment, found him dead, said he had a massive heart attack, man. What y'all think about the death of Robert Tractor Trailer?
I apologize. Because I'm not laughing at Robert Tractor Trailer, yo, but them Yogi Berra quotes, cuz. Oh, my God. But, yo, on Robert Tractor Trailer, it's a sad story. I remember him playing in college, playing in the pros, even when he was a bum with Cleveland. But he seemed like a nice guy. It's a sad story to hear. And my thing is, the boy was living in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Wasn't he from, like, Michigan or something?
He was playing ball.
He was still playing. Okay.
Yeah. He had heart surgery in, like, 2005. So remember, he always had these heart problems, but
yeah.
Tractor Trailer is a perfect testament to the fact that just because you have extreme athletic talent doesn't mean that you can be overweight or that your health is in good shape just because you're gonna jump and play ball. Dude had an eating problem as well. I mean, he was 6'9" and ballooned up to like 400 pounds once he left the league. He's like 4'30" playing.
Man.
Yo, I remember when he was at Michigan, like after the Fast Five, he had some of the, you know, nicest post moves in the game, and people don't realize that, yo, the Bucks traded Dirk Nowitzki for him
on draft day. For one year, you know, the Bucks didn't look too stupid. But then we all know what happened after that. But RIP, it's a Tractor Trailer. The next story, while y'all were on the ground, quick, when we spoke about this a few weeks back, the Fiesta Bowl is actually going to remain in the BCS. They just got $1 million fine for all their, you know, transgressions. What do y'all think about that? I mean, did y'all think the BCS was actually going to kick out some potential money and let the Fiesta Bowl walk somewhere?
Stop your cereal.
Yo, you know, I don't even want to go start on the NCAA because I always go in on him. But it's yo, what can I say, man? Like, it's fraudulent. It's all about that paper, man. That's all it's about. So, at the end of the day, I knew nothing was gonna happen for real, for real.
Kill. Yo, my sentiments exactly. Wasn't that the same bowl where homie got like $600,000 a year just to plant it?
Yeah, just to plant it. And yeah, and he was taking like, I mean, he had like some fraudulent campaign contributions, and you know, they were doing some stuff that got them investigated. But at the end of the day, they just said, you know, we're going to find the Fiesta Bowl $1 million and we're going to keep it moving. So this next story, y'all, man, back in the news, Chad Ochocinco, and I thought he changed his name back to Johnson. I think nobody's respecting that now like they didn't used to respect Ochocinco. So this dude is supposed to be riding a bull at a professional bull riders event this weekend. Now, listen, they said just if he gets on the bull, they're going to pay him $10,000. But if he rides it for the required 8 seconds, they're going to give him a new Ford F-150, and he can rename the bull. So, of course, on Twitter, Ocho said he might name the bull Marvin Lewis after the you know, his head coach. So what do y'all think about his latest? What do you think about Ocho's latest endeavors?
Yo, I really don't care because ever since he changed his name to Chad Ocho, he has sucked on the field as a receiver. He's been playing average to below average as a receiver, and it seemed like it's one stunt, one show, one thing after another, but the boy can't get like 1,200 yards, 80 catches, and 10 touchdowns anymore.
Yo, it's like the worse his game is, the more popular he becomes. And, yo, for me, it's a joke. This just means they need to get football back together because these jokers don't know what to do with their time.
Yo, I think that Yogi Berra can weigh in on my man Ochocinco. And Yogi would have said, we make too many wrong mistakes.
Yo, I got better advice than Yogi. I think Ochocinco needs some gag. But anyway.
Yo!
He got Twan's expertise.
Listen, we talked about the whole Mendenhall situation last week. Champion, they ended their endorsement deal with Mendenhall over his controversial tweets. First of all, I ain't no Champion was still going strong like that.
Champion gear that I rock, you get your boots now.
We should have got that sound bite. So what do y'all think about this? Y'all think, you know, he got fired for exercising his free speech rights?
Of course. I mean, there's a large population of American society that has certain traditional values and views around, you know, what should and should not be said, and most of those people are at the very top or pinnacle of corporate America. And so when you're working for them, you have to take their opinions and thoughts into consideration, and when you don't, it can cost you a paycheck. I still think he did the right thing. So what? They're Champion.
My thing is this. You know, because of this, I will not support Champion. Not that I did before. But the fact of the matter is Champion has no problem with sex crimes because they didn't get rid of him when he sexually assaulted Ben Roethlisberger. But because he exercised free speech, now they want to get rid of him, man. They such hypocrites, man. Champion should be investigated.
You know what's funny, though, Jimmy? You mentioned that in jest. But somebody brought that point up, and Dev, it was in an article that you cited on the War Room Sports Facebook page. That's facebook.com/War Room Sports. He's made other controversial comments on Twitter that could be mistaken or interpreted as misogynistic, racist, whatever, and Champion didn't weigh in. There was no problem. But now he makes this comment.
This is 9/11. This is the whole patriotic movement, the G.I. Joe, good old boys. You know how it is, man. Man, you got anything to think of? Champions suck. Kill, you want to weigh in or you good?
It kind of is what it is. I mean, I kind of think of, like, Don Imus. Not that what he said was the level of Don Imus, but, you know, the they had to, you know, suspend him, fire him for a time. I mean, then he was able to get back on the air. But it's kind of like when money is involved, freedom of speech really doesn't matter.
Right. All right, well, that's what happened, everybody, while y'all were on the grind.
Yo, y'all ready to pass that rock?
Pass that redock.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, for those who don't know what Pass the Rock is, it's when it's starting five. Get the vent on any sport issue, please. So I'm going to take the rock and inbound it to my man, Dev Mac. Go ahead, good brother.
Tell him why you mad, sir. Tell him why you mad, sir. Yo, I'm not mad at all, and I have nothing to vent on. Jimmy, I just want to tell you, I just finished downloading that Netflix app to my Android phone. That's what's up. And while y'all out there doing that, make sure you download that War Room Sports app to your Android or your iPhone. So with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my homeboy, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Thanks, Brother Def. I'm going to be real, real, real brief, man, real brief. If you bring up the fact that your hero has hit one clutch shot, and you can remember all of the clutch shots that he's hit in a matter of 5 to 10 seconds, he's not clutch, folks. The sun shines on a dog's behind every now and again. Why? Because that dog rolls over. And chances are the sun is going to shine. That's all. That's it. I'm done. I'm going to pass the rock to Jimmy. Oh, my man, Doc Bayon. Excuse me. I pump faked it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Good evening, War Room World. Tonight, I would just like to list my top 15 observations from the 2011 NBA playoffs thus far. Number one, when did the Dallas Mavericks become a mentally tough team? Number two, when did the Los Angeles Lakers become a heartless bunch of fake thugs? Number three, why did the Hawks have George Teague playing behind Mike Bibby and Kirk Heinrich this year? Number four, what was the purpose of the San Antonio Spurs winning all those games during the regular season, only to lose to the 8-seeded Memphis Grizzlies? Number five, who expected the Mavericks to be this good with Caron Butler being hurt and Roddy Bubois, a.k.a. Grinch Du, being shelved for the playoffs? Number six, I wonder what teams wish they would have signed Peja Stojakovic for peanuts like the Mavericks did. Number seven, how does J.J. Barea keep getting it done? Number eight, Jordan, Kareem, Wilt, Russell, Magic, Big O, Bird, Hakeem, Shaq, Kobe, Moses, LeBron, Duncan, West, Elgin, Dr. J, Barkley, Karl Malone, KG, Zeke, Pippen, Rick Barry, David Robinson, and Dwayne Wade. Those are 25 players who I know are better than Dirk Nowitzki. So to me, he is not a top 10 all-time player. And I probably left out 10 others from the all-time list. To Dirk's credit, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he does have major game. Number nine, why did LeBron apologize about how the decision went down after the second round win over the Celtics? Number 10, why does the team Kendrick Perkins used to play for get beat 4-1 in the second round of the playoffs, and the team he now played for is up 3-2 in the second round of the playoffs? Very interesting for a guy who was voted by his peers as the player with the most inflated ego regarding his basketball game, and whose only basketball skills come from poverty and the mean-facedness, as our brother PJ alluded to during show number 34. 11, why don't Andrew Bynum and Lamar Odom play with the same intensity that they showed during those flagrant fouls? Number 12, as a 6'3 point guard, why is Derrick Rose following up his missed shots with dunks? Number 13, ladies and gentlemen, Russell Westbrook is in the building. 14, why are the Grizzlies playing better and shocking people without Rudy Gay? 15, why did Carlos Boozer turn around like he was going to beat the life out of Josh Smith? An honorable mention, what happened to the Celtics, Spurs, and Lakers? And with that, I will throw a no-look wraparound pass to PJ.
Yo, Kel, I thought you was about to do the remix to Jadakiss's Why song right there, man. That was hot. But, yo, man, I just want to touch on that that catastrophe that some refer to as a fight this past Saturday. Now, I knew it was going to be a long night for Shane Mosley when Shane came into the ring rocking a carefree curl throwback Jerry curl in his head. So historically, Shane has trouble in fights when prior to the fight, he takes time to moisten his shat. But seriously, considering the styles of the two fighters, I never thought that I'd see Shane Mosley spend 12 rounds running the Boston Marathon backwards with his hands in the don't hit me position. Mosley spent more time trying to keep a knockout off his record than he did actually trying to fight Manny Pacquiao. When Pacquiao knocked Mosley down with a left hook in the third round, it seemed to sap Mosley's willingness to engage at all. His biggest moment of the fight came when referee Kenny Bayless mistakenly ruled that Mosley knocked Pacquiao down in the 10th round when he hadn't even hit him with a punch. The ruling seemed to spur Pacquiao on as he went after Mosley for the rest of that round and again into the 11th round. Pacquiao, not expecting to have to run wind sprints during the fight, spent so much time chasing Mosley that he ended up pulling a cramp in his left leg. The greatest ferocity out of the Mosley camp came from his juicy, plump-bootied, sexy, curvaceous, spicy, Latino bitchin' of a girlfriend, Bella Gonzalez. Amen. She was screaming, drooling, and taunting from ringside in an attempt to motivate Mosley to no avail. But I must admit, Bella bouncing that big old country booty in and out of the seat all night was at least some consolation for the $60 that was sold on them. Man, all I could do was focus on that butt. Like R. Kelly said, the only thing that was in my head during the fight was the booty, the booty. But seriously, Shane fought like a degenerate bum. But going home with that plump booty Bella Gonzalez is one hell of a consolation prize.
Chatonk it.
And with that, I throw a no-look to Jimmy.
Yo. Hold on, cuz. Let me get Michael Porter. You silly, cuz. All right. Oh, man. Let's go. Excuse me, good brother. You got me dying over here. Anyway, what's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. the smartest guy in the room. I just want to say a few words about my homie, Brett Favre, a.k.a. Brett Favre, a.k.a. Old Purple Hands. Look, I just want to say to Old Purple Hands, go away, Ock. People feel the need to check up on you and see whether you are playing or if you're not playing as if you were some sort of great player. I mean, you were okay. But you know what, my friend? You have the most overrated career in the history of team sports. You are more overrated than Polynesian dipping sauce from Chick-fil-A. Your career is more overrated than All Eyes on Me albums from Tupac. So this time they check up on you to see if you have changed your mind for the umpteenth time about playing. You know what? And I appreciate you saying you won't play, but now you want to help mentor and coach Cam Newton? FOH, I. What are you going to teach him? How to throw INTs in the playoffs? Or do you want to teach him how to disrespect the game by helping defensive players break the sack record? Or maybe you want to show him how to store pictures of your man region in the cloud so you can send sex messages to a young, wild, beautiful love child when you want to. And for those who think I always talk pork chop greasy about Brett Favre, I have two things to say to you. Number one, you're right. I do talk pork chop greasy. He's a mutt. And number two, I want you to answer me a question. If Favre last played for the Vikings, why is he not offering to help their new quarterback? They drafted a quarterback in the first round. Let me tell you why. It's because Favre is an attention freak, and he wouldn't get the same attention helping out the Vikings, so instead he wants to jump on the Cam Newton bandwagon. Again, I say, FOH, Op. Old Purple Hands, I do want to thank you for once again proving me right. And if you need work, I'm pretty sure you can get a role on the Men of a Certain Age because you have more in common with Joe Tranelli than a professional athlete at this time. So do us all a favor and fall back like LeBron's hairline. I'm not.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yo, won't y'all answer me a question before we get into the break? Why he offered the Vikings to help? That's all I'm saying.
I don't know.
Yeah, no
I don't know, man. But, yo, let me give everybody a media blast so you can see how you can get in touch with us. Yeah, check us out on you can check us out on our website, warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at WarRoomSportsTV.com. For access to all of our media content in one place, anywhere, anytime, download the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All's Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so that you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and you never know. One of the War Room professors just might call on you. Jimmy, I'm going to pass it over to you, gang.
Yes, sir. I got it. Yo, Glenn.
Let's get right into this. But shout out to the people sending me text messages defending the Polynesian sauce. This is actually one of our more popular bits that we do on the show. HOF or FOH, and what we do is pretty much talk about an athlete and determine whether they're HOF Hall of Fame or FOH, which is funds on hold or F out of here. So, gentlemen, the name I want to bring to you this evening is one Chauncey Big Shot Billet, a.k.a. Big Diddy, a.k.a. anything else you want to call him. I call him Puffy's twin. The boy look just like Diddy, don't he? But, yo, I'm going to start with you, Dash. Hall of Fame or FOH?
Chauncey B. Diddy, Big Shot, Bad Shot Billups. He's a very, very solid point guard in his day. His stock went way up when he won the Finals MVP with Detroit. However,
yeah.
You know, on a team like Detroit where they didn't really have, you know, just that guy, that standout guy. I mean, Rip will give you 20 a game, but, you know, that was a team full of equals. So I don't think winning the Finals MVP, like, bumped his career up all that much in my eyes. Plus, it's the Finals MVP. It's for one series. It's not for, you know, the regular season. It's not for the playoffs. It's not something that he did all the time. Multi-year All-Star, and like I said, it all started to happen for him after what happened in Detroit. But Hall of Fame, Chauncey, I'm going to give Chauncey a FOH, funds on hold, go to your bank, receive the check back, bounce, no for Chauncey.
Okay, let's see. Let's go to Doc Bay.
Yo. Initially, I would say FOH, no. But Chauncey has to get in because of the Joe Dumars clause. Like his stats.
And everybody got to get in then, Kill.
I know.
I got something else I want to bring up, but go ahead and finish, Kill. Go ahead and finish.
Yeah, like his stats, playoffs, and in regular season, in some cases, are better than Joe Dumars or just as equal as Joe Dumars. And Chauncey, Joe Dumars went to, I believe, 3 finals, 1-2. Chauncey went to 2 finals, 1-1. And initially, I would say, no, FOH. What's up?
You wouldn't know that if you used to hear the Detroit Pistons talk, though, because in every playoff situation they get interviewed, all they used to say is, yeah, we've been in this situation before. Like, they weren't.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yo.
Exactly.
And for those who don't know, within the War Room, we have what we call the Joe Dumars clause, because if you look at his numbers, Joe D wasn't no Hall of Famer. Anyway,
I don't use the Joe D clause, though. I use that to crap on the Hall of Fame. So this is about whether we think he should be in the Hall of Fame, not going on who's already in there, because we already have decided, all 5 of us, that the Hall of Fame, along with Bill Simmons, need to be blown up and redone. So
yeah,
I'm just throwing that out.
Here's the thing.
FOH.
Because the thing about it is, like, we all know that if we control the Hall of Fame, there'd be like four people in there. But with that being said, when you look to see, like, FOH, HOF or FOH, do you think he's going to get in, or do you believe, like, I guess what Kill is saying is he doesn't think he should be in, but you think he will get in?
Yeah, that's what I take.
How about
oh,
you,
well,
TJ?
If that's the question, I didn't know that's how we were playing. I thought this
so you,
was
you
our
think
thing.
He'll get in, too. But I mean,
think a lot
I
of people
going to
get in that don't deserve to. If it's like that, everybody we've played this game with is going to get in. That's
not Robert Horry, man. Not Robert Horry.
You hear all the people defending him. He might get in there. Vince Carter.
How about that, PJ? PJ, what's your opinion on Chauncey?
If I would have to say my vote, my vote would probably be no. Even though Chauncey is one of my favorite point guards, I really like his game. Big shot Chauncey, like Dev said, even sometimes bad shot, but you know he does have the gall to take those shots, and a lot of times he hits them. So I think that's what he's become known for. I mean, you're looking at a guy that's like a 15-point kind of 5-assist career statistic guy with a championship. I would say no. Long story short, no. Do I think he's going to get in? If I had to vote, if it was just my vote, I would say no. Do I think he might? He may. If, for example, well, I don't know. If he wins another championship in some way, some form, regardless of what role he played on the team, I think he's in by their standards.
All
right.
Let's see what Austin got to say. It's Austin, man. Austin.
I'll go Hall of Fame, and here's why. I feel like the latter half of his career, I would say starting with his first year in Detroit, when given the opportunity, he became a solid 17-point-per-game scorer. If you average out the last 8 years of his career, he's at about 17 points per game, about 7 assists per game.
What you going to do another year?
Well, It's kind of like knocking Kobe for being on the bench. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all know what he could have done had he been starting his first year.
Yeah,
but it
only,
you know,
took
saying?
Him – look what he did after he started, though.
Okay.
Like, even after he started to start, his numbers, you can't –
All right, brother, I didn't weigh in on yours, and all I said was hater in the house. I know it was a hater in the house. I knew it was a hater in the house. Dude's ability to control a game and dictate the outcome, even beyond points, puts him in the Hall of Fame for me. I mean, this is one of those things where it goes beyond just stats. Having had the opportunity to see him play, I think that he's a Hall of Fame caliber point guard. I mean, that's
okay.
Just me. Statistically,
he's a damn good point guard, bro. I mean, like, he's one of my favorite points.
He gives you
what you say.
He gives you what you need. That's the thing, PJ. It's like, could he score 20, 25 a game? I think we all know Chauncey could put up 20 to 23 points per game. But he understands his role. Yo, I got to let other folks get off. But when the big shot needs to be taken and needs to be made, he's that bull. So, you know what I'm saying? Plus, in the playoff, his scoring goes up to 18 a game, which is crazy.
Let me weigh in. Let me weigh in. Let me weigh in real quick. Let me give my opinion.
Role.
So basically, Austin is saying that he should go in and he will go in. All right, but let me weigh in real quick because I haven't weighed in yet. I was looking at this, and the reason I brought up Chauncey is because, you know, I look at stats all the time, and I was looking at some Hall of Fame players, and I came across like Dennis Johnson, who makes the Hall of Fame. Yo, Dennis Johnson averaged 14 points a game for his career, where Chauncey averaged 15. Dennis Johnson's assist was 5, and Chauncey's was 5.6. Dennis Johnson was 3.9 boards, and Chauncey's was 2.9. So it's like, you know, they're very close. They both were 5-time All-Stars. They both won the Finals MVP once. The only difference in Dennis Johnson's career and Chauncey's career was Dennis Johnson at a later age got to play with those stacked Celtics teams. But he was the focal point of one championship team before the Celtics, just like Chauncey was. So with that being said, they have similar careers, and Dennis got in. And actually, Chauncey has, superior stuff.
Do you think Dennis belongs in?
Well, while Dev and I disagree on Chauncey belonging in the Hall of Fame, I do agree with the fact that we need to stop using other people's criteria to decide whether a player should be in the Hall of Fame.
You don't think that player should be in. Like the
Denver.
Here's the thing, Austin.
Dumars clause, but we shouldn't be using it.
I mean, yeah, I get that. But at the end of the day, like, that what else can you use? Like, so you have
you
to.
You can use what you think.
I thought
this was our game.
No, I get that. I get what you're saying.
This is our
game.
We can use what
you want to use. Every time we've done this, I tell you which makes it difficult because at the end of the day, yo, if I ran the Hall of Fame, it'd be less than 10 people in here. We couldn't even get a full.
Yo,
if I ran the Hall of Fame,
know,
we couldn't even play a full.
It would have to be.
Y'all know. Listen. Let me go back. When I made the decision to say that Vince Carter deserved to be in the Hall of Fame, y'all know how much I hate that dude. But I also understand what it takes to score 23 points per game. And that alone, to me, in the NBA, means that dude is probably way better than I give him credit for being.
Yeah,
so
you're judging
that
him against other superstars because he's supposed to be
a
superstar. But just against the average NBA player, you know, Vince Carter is that dude. But back to your point where you were like, well, Chauncey could have did this, but he knew his role. But is the Hall of Fame for cats who know their role, unless you're somebody like Dennis Rodman who led the league in their role for like 95 straight years? I don't really think the Hall of Fame should be for role players.
So you calling Chauncey a glorified role player?
I'm going on what his man just said. His man said he knew his role. I don't want nobody in my Hall of Fame that knew their role unless your role was to be a superstar and to gain and to earn a Hall of Fame berth. That's all
I'm saying.
Damn.
Let me say, wait, because I gotta address this. That man's role was to put the team on his back in the last 2 minutes of the game, and we even saw him do it this year against the Heat. The Heat were up. The Heat were gonna win that game. Chauncey got 3 straight steals and hit 2 big buckets to close the game. And we weren't shocked by that. Why? Because unlike LeBron, we expect Chauncey to come through in the clutch. Now say that we don't. See, clutch meter to me, and I can't speak for y'all, but clutch meter to me weighs very, very heavy. That's why Reggie Miller is way up on my list where he's not so high on other folks, because when the pressure's on, Chauncey gets better.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Is he on the same level of clutch of all the clutch superstars of all time if the people don't even know if he's getting a ball or not? These other cats are clutch when everybody on planet Earth, Pandora, Tatooine, and every other galaxy in the universe knows they're getting a ball. Chauncey happens to call the ball
sometimes.
Go ahead and say that everybody knows his career.
By this stage in his career, you could say that in 03, you could say that in 04, but by this stage in his career, people are scared of Chauncey in the last 2 minutes of the game. If it's no more than the fact that the media puts him out there as that. Huh?
That wasn't my question. I said, does everybody know he's getting the ball? Go ahead and say he does when he just played a bunch of years with Carmelo Anthony, who's one of the top closers in the league. And he's still playing with Carmelo Anthony. Go ahead and say that everybody in the building knew that Chauncey was getting the ball during the times when he hit those shots. A lot of times the ball was kicked back out and he hit a big three, even in Detroit. So let's not act like
the defensive coach was in the huddle drawing up plays to defend him, sun him down to D. Fisher. That's what he's doing. He's trying to sun him down to D. Fisher.
No, but by you saying that means you don't have an answer for me.
No, I definitely have an answer. There have been plenty of times when I've seen plays drawn up for Chauncey to get the ball and finish.
Now you're in the huddle. Now you're sitting on the bench.
First off, he ain't getting in the hall because the boy named Chauncey, and that's whack right there. But yo. The thing about it is, like, if we're going to do this based upon, like you said, Dev, what we think, then I think that all of us, with the exception of Austin, wouldn't put him in. But now my question to you, Dev, is, so you're basically saying that the Hall of Fame is just reserved for, like, the elite of the elite, the top superstars.
My Hall of Fame is, we can't say that about your Hall of Fame, obviously. But if you use
their criteria, which is contributions to the game, where do you put Chauncey then?
Don't put him in the Hall of Fame. Either
way. Damn.
I mean, I just know there's not a diss. I think, see, now Brad, his argument has gotten down to using the lemming line. Now I'm a hater because I don't think the dude's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Now I'm a hater. I started my thing out talking about how good of a point guard he was. Just because I don't think he belongs in the elite of the elite, I'm a hater.
Okay, you offered a disclaimer. Yeah, you did.
Hey,
okay.
Dad, let me ask you a question, Dad. Who's hit more game? Who's hit more clutch shots, Derek Fisher or Chauncey Billups?
Who's hit more clutch shots, Chauncey Billups
probably
or LeBron
Derek,
James?
Probably Derek
Fisher. And we know LeBron's going to the Hall.
Probably Derek Fisher. And Derek Fisher can't even walk down the block near my Hall of Fame. I'm getting him away.
Yo. Yo, Brad will rumble for his homies, man. Yo, Brad, is Jamal Crawford going to the Hall of Fame?
Probably
not. Probably not.
Hey, yo, Sam Cassell's Hall of Fame.
He
has
some objectivity to him.
Is higher than Chauncey's. His Hall of Fame meter is higher than Chauncey's.
Sam
Cassell's is. Yeah.
Sam's my third favorite player of all time. Chauncey, my fourth. I'll admit that on the air. It goes Mike Jordan, AI, Sam I Am. But some of my affinity for Sam is just because he's ugly and he made it. I mean, his game is beautiful.
Most people with that level of ugliness don't reach that success in life, that kind of success.
Exactly.
With that type of ugliness.
Yo,
I got
these pictures, guys. Yo, the bottom line is, only one that thinks he should go is Austin. You can't use the Dumars clause. If we do use the Dumars clause, he got to go. But if we keep it just in our opinions, FOH.
Yeah, but see, I was under the impression that we invented this game because none of us like the criteria of the real Hall of Fame. That was my impression, man.
Yeah, I've never made a decision based on what other people are thinking. I don't care if you're Naismith or Wooten. I'm not.
In that case, I say we start a new game and we take the whole Hall of Fame and start pulling cats out.
Yeah, we can do
that.
Let's get that up. All right, did y'all hear about Tiger today? He withdrew from the Players' Championship after 9 holes. The bull shot a 42. He was stinking up the building, but he said that his leg started to hurt and he was having trouble walking, so he quit. Any of y'all buying that?
Didn't he do that last year?
He played with it last year. He played with an injury last year to his leg and won a tournament, a major. So that's
now,
how today I was talking to say they're going to give him a pass, but I'm like, well, we've actually seen him do it before. So my thought is, had he not been playing so badly, he wouldn't have quit. So how you just going to quit, guys?
I probably know less about golf than anybody else in the studio right now. But I was talking to one of my associates and colleagues about golf on Monday, and they have a 15 handicap, and so he's teaching me about handicaps and this, that, and the third. So it gets down to hitting the ball, and he was saying that it's really down. It comes down to torque and torsion on your body from your ankle all the way up to your neck, and that a great golfer can get that club to swing around at close to 100 miles an hour. And so the torque that puts on your hips, your knee, your ankle, your elbow, your neck is incredible. And so he was kind of explaining that, when you're golfing, all of that torque and all of that windup can cause a lot of little nagging injuries that can grow to be reoccurring chronic injuries. And so I'm just wondering, with the type of torque that Tiger creates, could it be that his body is breaking down?
I mean,
well,
it could
be. I mean,
I'm assuming it's the same leg that he had trouble with before. So, I mean, I don't believe that he's hurt. I just didn't know he was hurt enough to quit.
We all like to see athletes do what Rondo did, but realistically and in reality, like, dude may have really been hurt.
Hey, y'all, I just checked because when I heard the story earlier, I did hear that it was his second time, and actually he actually quit this particular championship last year, the Players' Championship. This is the second straight year that he quit with injuries. So I'm thinking that this must be, I don't know if it's the where he's playing. Like, is it that particular course where he needs more, like, I don't. Is it more give in the ground? I don't know. I'm just throwing out stuff at this point because I know last year, like you said, that he did play through one of the tournaments that he was in with his leg being all screwed up. But there was one that he actually couldn't do it.
Yo, let me comment real quick. Let me just make a comment on this real quick. I just want to say that I don't know anything about torque and all that other nonsense because I'm not really a golf connoisseur, but I can tell you this. I remember a time when Tiger was so dominant that it was a joy to watch, even not knowing the sport, just because he was kicking everybody's tail. And, like, when you watch him now, yo, I feel like, yo, y'all remember Superman 2 when Superman didn't have his powers?
Yeah, you feel kind of sorry for him, man.
Yo, I feel like sorry for him. I feel it's just like Superman 2 when Superman didn't have his powers and he, you know what I mean, walking around and everything. That's how I feel watching Tiger. Like, yo, where your powers at, B? You know
well,
I mean?
one of our fans on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WarRoomSports, Danny Earl said that, you know, if you take spinach away from Popeye, you get a result, which is nothing. And if you take Toots or Myra's away from Tiger, some of us know him as a hose, what do you get? You get nothing.
Yeah,
hey, yo, real quick, I got a quote I want to play.
I'm a big, strong nigga that knocks out people and rapes people and rips off people.
I play that Mike Tyson quote because I feel like this is starting to correlate. When Mike Tyson hit the scene, we all thought he was going to break Rocky Marciano's record and go 50-0, 60-0. He was tearing everybody up. And then all of a sudden it started going downhill. Tiger, everybody came out and said, man, he's going to break all of Jack Nicklaus's records. And then he had this incident, started slowing down, some knee injuries. So are we going to look at Tiger in the same way we look at Mike in terms of what could have been?
Let me ask you a question, though. Are you saying that it's a conspiracy by the man to prevent them from breaking these records?
No, I don't think so. I think mentally they dominate so much and they can't sustain it for a certain amount of time. And in Tiger's case, his spinach were the copulation with many females across the land. I think once they took that away from him, it kind of messed him up.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. It's like since the ball stopped getting as much coitus, it's like his game has, like, I'm telling you, it's just like Superman 2, though. Yo, Tiger, if you're listening, yo, just go talk to Jarrell and get your powers back, B.
Go back to the
Jarrell. There's another golf correspondent on a competing network. You know, we coming to get that network in a little bit. But he was saying that he's got two coaches, his pop, and his pop helped him work on his finesse game, like his putt game. They said his putt game is way off. And then, you know, there was the long ball pause, which is, you know, his drivers. And his coach that worked on him with his drivers has left. But not only that, now with the injuries, so you have a combination of his coaching staff being gone plus his athleticism diminishing. So he said it's all the way bad.
So listen, if you tie that into the analogy that Akil was alluding to, remember when Mike, after the Buster Douglas fight, he did his bid and stuff, and he had all these different people around him. Like his old trainers were no longer around him. Kevin Rooney wasn't training him anymore.
Right.
He used to train him when he was at his peak. And then he started having the brothers from the FOI and then the other brothers trying to get his chain, Jay. It's all these different people around him with their hands in the pot. And just like Tiger, he's losing his main – the people that were with him that helped him refine his skill set to make him that top-level golfer are gone, just like Tyson's.
Yeah.
Trainers and managers that made him that top-level boxer, help him to become that top-level boxer, championship boxer, are gone. So Kill might have been on to something. I think the man created Buster Douglas, and the man put them little pigmently challenged booties in Tiger's face, too, that made him, you know, to the left, that jump.
All right, Pete, Tiger's career. PJ already talked about the Shane Mosley-Pacquiao fight. In his PTR, so we can just briefly touch on this. Anybody got any thoughts on this? I mean, I'm of the same. Like, it's the same thing with Shane. Every time he fights somebody, his equal or better, he tries to fight for like two or three rounds just to act like he showed up for a fight. Then he just stops fighting so he can just go back and collect his check, not get dented up too much so he and Bella can go out the towel and she can lay in the bathtub with the rose petals and all that kind of stuff.
Yo, shout out to Sal.
you can't keep charging people $65 for this, man.
I just want to talk about Bella, man.
Brad put his Barry White voice on to say that.
I just want to talk about Bella. There's something wrong with me.
Hey, Timmy, didn't you say she was like a top trending, Twitter trending?
Yeah, celebrity. I was on Twitter doing the fight, like watching the fight. Yo, she was like one of the top trending topics in the world, yo. I'm like, damn, yo, the fight going on, everybody talking about Bella.
She's the biggest winner.
So what you're saying is, even though Shane lost, he really won.
Yo, I think that now that Bella got a little fame though, she gonna bounce on Shane for somebody that's winning. Like, she gonna be with Jamal Crawford next week.
And if he drop 20 tonight, he probably will.
Shane, y'all gonna see Derrick Rose coming back next season with Bella on his arm.
Yo, he look like the bull that Ocho Cinco gonna ride this weekend. Yo, he look like a sweet bull. That don't even go together.
He look like a bull with a cherry curl. How you have a light-skinned bull with a cherry curl, man?
Yo, but keeping the sports later, what's up with your man tapping gloves like that, yo? That was irritating.
Yo, after every – that's what I was telling people before.
Shane Mosley.
Did you guys see the weigh-in? Like, they couldn't even stare each other down.
They were laughing.
Without
they started laughing.
Cracking
they
and giggling and stuff.
Yeah, when they tried
to
Yeah.
It was giggling like one of two things was going down. Either one, we're gay and no one knows it, or
we
pulling a fast one over on the world, man. Nanny, you're not going to hit me hard and I'm not going to hit you hard and we're going to make millions of dollars for it.
Man, you're fraud.
The funny thing about
like, he ain't got no fraud. He's fraud. He's frauding too. Go ahead though, PJ.
But the thing about Shane is he's been that way his entire career. Even back in pre-Oscar one fight, Shane's always been that type of fighter who at every bell, at the end of the round, he always wants to give you a pound. He is – I don't know if that niceness is fake. I don't know if it's related to some connection to his princess boyness on the low. But Shane, to me, has always been that – like, he's always been overly nice, especially – for a combat sport like boxing. I mean, he's one of the nicest dudes I ever seen fight. Like, I don't know how you – honestly, I don't know how you can be that nice with somebody, like give him pounds and, like, want to hug him. And, like, he was trying to explain himself during the fight. Here's what happened with Shane. He'll, like, do an accidental headbutt, and when the ref breaks it up and, has him step back or whatever, Shane will look at the boss and be like, yo, I was trying to step to my right, and when you came, I'm sorry. Like, I was saying this during the fight. Like, Shane will literally try to explain himself, and the boy is trying to rumble. He's, like, gotten punched in the face, because I know Floyd last year punched him in the face a couple times where he was trying to explain to Floyd why they, like, headed butted heads
He's the anti-Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, and I find that fights aren't as exciting when you know that the dudes are friends. They act like they're friends.
I'm starting to listen to Jimmy now, like UFC, MMA. I mean,
go ahead, though, Dev.
Yeah, did y'all see the little 15-minute HBO special that they did called Face Off?
Hilarious.
With Art Hopkins and Jean Pascal.
Yo, hilarious.
I didn't see it. What happened?
Minutes with Max Kellerman, right? Max Kellerman is sitting there, and they got these dudes at a little, like, coffee table, little end table type thing. One dude got a chair on one side, the other one got a chair on the other side. So they're really close, and Max Kellerman is sitting there basically moderating it, asking them a few questions, trying to get them to talk trash about each other. And Bernard Hopkins is way in this dude's head, man. Dude, like, he turned into a little kid because Bernard is hitting him with the mind games, and, you know, he looked like a catfish, so that's probably a little intimidating in itself. But, no, if you didn't see it, like,
I gotta check
since
it
everybody
out.
Didn't see it, I don't even want to give up too much. It's only 15 minutes, so check it out on demand, HBO, or just – it'll probably come back on, like, 16 times before the fight. But,
before
Jimmy, you
fight,
said you saw it, right?
Yo, I saw it, cuz, and I was in tears. I was in tears, yo. What is wrong with the boy? He got up like, yo, if you ain't trying to win – What I'm here for? Yo, Bernard is hilarious, cuz. Yo, hilarious.
And he asked Max Kellerman, did you hear that? He said he ain't here.
Yeah, did you hear that? What am I here for? Yo, Bernard
has won a lot of fights because people were scared of him. I hope he's brother. Nardis won a lot of fights because people were literally scared of him from that type of intimidation. Because he comes at everybody like that, and he's been in fights where the fight's been won already before they even get the throwing punches. And that's like how it used to be with Mike Tyson, but Bernard will talk him into that type of fear. Mike Tyson,
speaking of Bernard, y'all know how it's well documented that he doesn't really care for Donovan McNabb too much, right? So he was training for his fight in Philly, and. Well, you know, a lot of people think he just talks about McNabb just out of the blue for no reason. But you know how reporters kind of set you up. So a reporter asked him a question about Mike Vick where he knew Bernard was going to have to draw a comparison between Mike Vick and Donovan McNabb, and that got him down the road. So here's some of his quotes. Well, first, according to him, McNabb had a privileged childhood in suburban Chicago, and as a result, he's not black enough or tough enough. At least compared to cats like himself, Mike Vick, and T.O. So he was pointing down to his arm, like his skin color, saying, forget this. He's got a suntan. He's trying to say he's not black, he just got a suntan. So he also implied that, while Vick and Owens remained true to their roots, McNabb did not, and that McNabb was rudely awakened when the Eagles traded him last year. So this is one of his quotes. He said, why do you think McNabb felt he was betrayed? Because he's the guy in the house while everybody else is on the field.
Oh.
He's the one who got the extra coat, the extra service. He said, your boy. Hopkins, he then went on to say, he was patting the reporter on the back while he was saying, your boy, and it was a white reporter. And then he said McNabb thought he was one of them. So, B. Austin, I'm going to go to you real quick. We're running behind. I want to hear what you got to say about B-Hop destroying your man Donovan again. What do you think about his comment that he's not black enough?
I think that B-Hop is the official fighter of the war room, and I support him in anything he does and anything he loves. brother from another mother sent from the above.
I'm going to go like this because, we all know about our thoughts on Donovan McNabb, but most of those thoughts stay on the field. And, I really don't think that his bounce passery and his choking in the clutch and pressure situations and things like that, I don't think that has anything to do with his blackness. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think it's kind of wrong for the dude to question his blackness, just like the Jalen Rose, Grant Hill situation, just because he grew up in suburban Chicago, with his two parents or whatever, and he doesn't act a straight-up fool out in public and in the media, we can't say that he's not black for that. So...
Before you say anything, let me speak real quick. All I want to say is I totally agree with you, but I'm gonna go a step further. It's pure ignorance, and I actually feel sorry when I hear Bernard talk like that because I understand what he's trying to say, but the bottom line is he can't communicate very well. Maybe it's because he's too black in his words. How do you equate being black with being street or being ignorant or anything like that? Black people are too diverse to. I mean, it's pure ignorance. And as a matter of fact, we could do a whole show with this topic. So I'm not going to get on my, my pedestal and preach y'all, but I think it's pure ignorance.
I will say this. I can see both of your perspectives, and I agree. But I also have to think back to the fact that us all being from Philly and all following the Eagles, we all know that McNabb had a certain relationship with ownership and the executives of the Eagles organization, not unlike a lot of superstars.
I don't think
he
was given
that
access. I don't think being a company man.
Where he grew up at.
We know what he was trying to imply. He was trying to imply the little Uncle Tom tag that stupid ass black people throw around,
rapidly.
And if you want to ask me, I call McNabb a company man in a New York minute. But I don't think company man and Uncle Tom are exactly the same things. I don't think
I don't either. I definitely don't.
No, I don't think so either.
I think it's no defense for what Bernard said.
It's like Jimmy said. I think it's unfortunate because, when I hear those kind of comments, I feel embarrassed, too, as a black person. because I think, like, and like you said, like you alluded to, Jimmy, this could be a whole show, but I think that mentality is really, just like we talked about before with Jalen and Grant, I think that is really what affects the black community. Seriously, not to get too political, and but that mentality of, like, the Uncle Tom, where he came from a privileged childhood, so he doesn't have heart, and he can't, you know, he's not as tough as me or as real as me because I came from the streets and my family was poor, and being mad at the more fortunate black people, I just think that mentality is crazy. Like, I mean, we all, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I think we all pretty much know McNabb is very overrated, very inaccurate, doesn't really have much heart. But I really don't think it has anything to do with how he grew up or whether he's black or not.
I'm just waiting for the day for a white person to say he's not white enough in reference to another white player.
You won't. You never heard no Asian. You never heard an Asian say that. You never heard an Indian person say that. You never heard any other race of person say that,
you know,
about them. They don't. I don't know. I haven't, but maybe they do. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, no, that was me. Now that you said that, we should just do a show on it because it's come up a few times, so we could just circle the wagons one of these weeks and do a whole show
no
on
doubt.
It.
No doubt.
We got status here from the Twitter files, and y'all know what the Twitter files are about. While people stuffing their foot in their mouth on the 140-character
shout out to my man
social
Shane.
Networking giant we call Twitter. So the latest
Illuminati.
Victim, the latest victim of free speech and infringement is Reggie Bush, where he has some thoughts on the lockout. He says, quote, "Everybody's complaining about the lockout. Shoot, I'm making the most of it. Vacation, rest, relaxing, appearances here and there. I'm good." He said, "Right about now, we will be slaving in 100-degree heat, practicing twice a day while putting our bodies at risk for nothing." PJ.
Bodies at risk of what at this time?
What do you think? He's putting his body at risk for nothing. Oh, before you answer, let me let you know that Bush is scheduled to make $11.8 million this year in the final year of his rookie contract. So what do you think about him, you know, talking like that during the lockout and talking about slaving it for nothing?
He sounded like an absolute idiot to me. I mean, almost just the fact that he sat there and said, you know, putting our bodies at risk for what? During this time of year, you're not really putting your body at risk. You're just getting into shape. That's not putting. Yeah, you're not putting. You're
staying away from the crack.
Your body up,
which I think is pretty good advice, unless you can manage it.
You're trying to get your body to be prepared to last longer. So it just sounds stupid. Again, like you said, the operative word being slaving. Like, these dudes, to me, it's just like these dudes really look at themselves as slaves. And my thing is, if you do, then you have an opportunity to bounce and leave and get a better life for yourself. If you're you know, a slave or relegated to slavery by being in the NFL. So I just think, again, like you said, man, Twitter is going, with these dudes being bored, The lockout still going on. These dudes are saying stuff, and there's no buff, there's no filter, there's no. It's like it comes to my mind. Here's Twitter. I'm typing it. I sent it. Once you send it, even if you delete the tweet, it's done. Like you can't change it.
It's on the
out
news.
There. And these dudes, this is just I'm telling you, Twitter's Illuminati. I think the man created Twitter. It's like no, I'm just
but no,
a joke, y'all.
What you said when people got on them about that. Because, first of all, I think it's insulting to NFL players who make way less money than him. There's a lot of dudes struggling during this lockout.
Right.
You know, because they're not getting paid.
Trying to get on the team. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. There's people struggling during the lockout. So not only are, you know, am I talking about him insulting the general public, saying that his $11 million job, that you know, where he plays a game for damn near $12 million a year, is insulting to the general public, but he's also insulting his own peers by acting like, you know, I'm good. Of course you're good. You make a lot of money. But there's some
right.
league minimum cats who aren't too good right now. And they're going
right.
to
be taking them out. Are the NFL players being paid right now? Or are they
no, they don't get paid now. They don't get paid now. They get paid during the season. But
no, y'all damn well know Reggie's still spending that USC money.
They start getting a little something as soon as, you know, the activity starts. So there's a lot
OTAs,
of players who have there's a lot of players who have clauses in their contracts where they get
workout clauses,
workout bonuses and stuff like that. So you know, I mean, it's free speech. I like when people speak their mind, but I mean, just like everybody else, when everybody started getting on him, he then tweeted, FYI, last tweet was a joke. Relax, people. Damn, it's called a sense of humor. Cry me a river, why don't you? Man, if you're going to say it, if you're good, and you like your vacation and all that, don't back down from it when people start to, that makes you look even dumber. So
yo, yeah, basically he took a page out of Charlie Sheen.
I missed practice. We're talking about practice. To quote the great Allen Iverson. Practice. Come on guys, we're talking about practice.
Word. Hey, but look, before
go ahead, Dan, you got some more there?
Just had another quick topic. I just wanted to read off some stuff. But go ahead, say what you got to say about that, and then we'll move it on.
No. I mean, I'm done with Reggie Bush. It's you know, it's a disgrace, but, you know, it is what it is.
Okay. I just wanted to read out
the rest
of
the bad.
I wanted to read out the rest of the NBA awards. I mean, we don't even have to. I mean, if you got a comment, make one. If you don't, you know, we can.
Hey, we got a call on the line. We got a call on the line.
Yeah. All right. Hold up, Will. The Sportsmanship Award, this ain't important, but Stephon Curry won that. Stephen Curry, whatever his name is. But the real awards, okay, here go to all defensive teams. All defensive first team, you got Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett. Anybody on here that don't belong?
No, that's a good defensive team. I mean, you can question LeBron,
I'm cool,
but he has gotten a lot better.
Once you get on this list, you're going to be on there just off reputation. I got two people who don't belong on this list this year, and one of them didn't belong on it last year when they first got there. LeBron James does not belong on the first team all defense because he blocked some shots, and Kobe Bryant no longer belongs on the first team all defense.
Dark skin Jermaine.
So, I don't think either one, you know, Kobe, this is, he and Kevin Garnett just tied MJ and them for ninth, MJ and Gary Payton for 9 first-team selections. And that had to play a part in some of these dudes getting back on the team. I'm not saying Kobe's a bad defender. I'm not even saying LeBron's a bad defender anymore because he has improved on the defensive end, you know, not just the shot blocking, but he's actually improved. When he wants to lock up, he makes it difficult on his opponent, but I don't think LeBron nor Kobe belongs on the first team on defense. The second team features Tony Allen, who probably should be on the first team in Kobe's spot, Chris Paul, I don't know how the hell he got on there, Tyson Chandler, Andre Iguodala, who should be in LeBron's spot, and Joakim Noah from the Bulls. So that's my 2 cents. Anybody want to weigh on that before Jimmy takes us into this basketball talk?
No, we got a call on the line real quick.
Take it.
Good. All right, no doubt. I think it's the
whole
thing.
Yo. You.
Jay,
you
on the line.
What's good, guys? What's good?
You got to turn your radio down. We can hear
it. Yeah, no, because I'm driving. You know what? Hold on.
Hey.
Yeah, look. Bro, talk. Why y'all talking about my man still, man? He bum. He garbage. What's his name again? Kardashian. What's his name? Reggie Kardashian. Yo, nobody paying attention to that cat. Yo, he sound ridiculous, man. Right now, that dude, all they worried about who he gonna date next after her. That's all they worried about, man. My man ain't going nowhere. My man, that's he on the decline. My man, right now, gonna be doing club, the special club visits for like $1,500 a pop. That's all he gonna do. watch that dude show up over there in the strip club in the red light district in Baltimore and you know, get like a stack. You know what I mean? Like he garbage. Now, what else I was talking about right now besides that bum? See, that bum threw me out of place right now. Oh, B-Hop. B-Hop went in on your boy, man. B-Hop went in, but peep it, though. It's true, man. I noticed that, man. I ain't never heard no dude tell me I ain't Puerto Rican enough. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I mean? Like, because I ain't stabbed a couple brothers yet, you know, pull out the knife on a nigga, you know what I mean? I still ain't hearing brothers say you ain't Puerto Rican enough.
Give him a $1.50.
Yeah,
No. Y'all know about, y'all heard the locks when he said, stick yourself, Tony. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I ain't stick a dude yet, so, you know what I'm saying? I ain't heard a Puerto Rican tell me, yo, you ain't Puerto Rican, you ain't stick a brother yet. You know what I mean? Or because I ain't speaking Spanglish. I'm not talking like this, you know? So I ain't hear that yet. So I don't know why, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people throw that out there. That, you know what I'm saying? He not black enough. Real talk, it ain't really a bother. Some people better off than others, man. And for somebody to come out their face and say, oh, because he not from the hood, he's soft. I'm saying, man, the man got to where he got by hard work. The man got to where he got because he got a good family. Why he got paid
saying,
for that?
I'm not necessarily
not
saying that. I'm not saying he ain't soft. I'm just saying he black. I mean, he might be soft.
No, let's keep it cheap. The brother's soft, though. I'm not his own son.
Okay.
He's soft. He's soft. I mean,
he's black.
So B-Hop was out of line with that. B-Hop shouldn't be saying he not black enough. What's black enough? I mean, Flavor Flav black enough? Shabba Ron's black enough? Like, what black do you talking to, Derek? Because,
Shabba
I mean, Dean. I look at
Shabba
him.
You know what I'm saying?
That mad Cobra black, you know what I'm saying? But the dude black. He's soft in the middle, hard, you know what I mean? But, you know what I mean?
Yo, Jay, anyway, man, we about to move on and talk some hoops. Thanks for your call, good brother. Be safe out there driving, too, homie.
You already know, I'm going to put you on the video now again. Listen to your head.
No doubt.
That's what's up.
Appreciate it, Jay. Peace out, Jay.
He's soft. Sound like a Yogi Berra quote. He's soft in the middle. Hole.
Yeah, you want to jump right into some hoops?
Yeah, in these playoffs, man.
Yeah, NBA playoffs, second round series.
Playoffs.
First one I want to talk about is Doc Bay and his Bulls. They lead the Hawks 3-2. What's your guys' thoughts on the series and you know how it's progressing thus far? Doc Bay, let's start with you as your squad.
Yo, it looks like we're starting to play through those, or I guess take those playoff lumps and bruises and come back from them, like as I alluded to in the first round. And I expect us to close out tonight in Atlanta. And I do think Derrick Rose in a couple of those games was shooting way too much because it's to the point where, okay, everybody knows you're going to shoot the rock. And one game where he put up 32 shots, Boozer was 7 for 10. So my thing is, you know, balance it out. You'll get yours, but balance it out so everybody can't just collapse and focus on you. And the crazy thing is, even though they was collapsing and focusing on him, he was still getting to the rack, and he happened to miss three tough layups in game four that if he makes them, they win. And the ref with that bogus call where he took away the three shots on the three-pointer, and they still could have won that game. So I still think he's growing and learning, and I expect this to close out tonight.
I just want to say one thing about y'all coach. I know that some people thought Larry Brown should have won the Coach of the Year or a couple other coaches, but, yo, y'all coach is that dude. Let me tell you why. I know it's coming from out of the blue, but, yo, I watched the game the other day, and he had, like, Noah and Boozer on the pond in the fourth quarter, but, you know, the team that was in the backups were playing well. Homie straight
Gibson.
Set them the entire fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter, yeah.
Most coaches don't do that. Whether they playing well or not, they're like, yo, like my starters. And he plays whoever has the hot hand. He don't care who you are.
No, but
right.
That wasn't
yeah.
even about hot hand. Those dudes was like Zumoff says, they were locking all windows and doors.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. But what
yeah.
I'm saying, I seen him bench Rose.
Yeah.
He plays whoever's playing well.
Yeah.
And Taj Gibson scored 11 points in that fourth quarter. He was one of the ones
right.
that was out there.
He took advantage of his opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel
it,
what
it,
Akil was
funny.
Saying about the Boozer thing.
Go ahead, Dad.
Like,
go ahead, Dad.
I'm sorry. I heard a lot of, like, Chicago Bulls fans, like, killing Boozer lately. And even, you know, our own blogger, Brandon Pemberton, was saying that Boozer and Dang needed to step up a little bit, help Derrick Rose out. But like Kill said, if you got Boozer, who's been struggling in the midst of a 7-for-10, then, you know, you might have to feed him a few more times. You know, maybe that gets his confidence going and he continues to play this well for you. So a lot of people always just want to say, well, Derrick Rose isn't getting any help. Okay, sometimes it's not everybody else's fault. Sometimes it's Derrick Rose getting his Russell Westbrook on.
Yeah, and it's funny.
Exactly.
There's only been one team that's won a championship when the point guard on the team led the team in field goal attempts, and that was the Detroit Pistons with Isaiah Thomas. So I think that whole style where, I mean, fortunately in game five for the Bulls, they had a Luol Deng sighting, and he gave them, like, I think 23 or something like that. But it's going to be a hard road, I think, when you get to the upper echelon teams to have your point guard shooting that much. Even though Derrick Rose is playing amazing right now, I just think that's a lot on him. And just like Dev said, I mean, Derrick Rose is my man, 50 grand. Y'all know that. But I think, just like you say, you still do have to kind of feed those guys and try to get those guys into the game. Not saying that he's gunning crazy, but a couple games he had a ton of field goal attempts. So you still got to let those guys try to get into the game.
Fortunately, Luol Deng is gave him something on game five, but I just think in the next, because I think they're going to win this series. But going forward, I think in the next two series that he could possibly be in, it's going to be rough if they could have this same like offensive game plan. So, okay. We'll see.
Hey, real quick, y'all, before we move on, I think I forgot. I didn't read the All NBA team, did I?
No, not
you did. No, you did.
No,
I didn't read the All NBA team.
No.
All right, that real quick, and then Jimmy could just move on to the next series. The All NBA team. The first team was, well, let's start with the third team. Third team was Chris Paul, Manu, Horford, Zach Randolph, and LaMarcus Aldridge. The second team was Russell Westbrook, Dwayne Wade, Amari Stoudemire, Dirk Nowitzki, and Pau Gasol. The first team was Derrick Rose, Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James. My bad for skipping that earlier. So what's next, good brothers?
Yo, the next series I want to talk about is my favorite series that's going on, and I'm going to tell you why. Because the Grizzlies coach, Lionel Hollins, is the best-dressed man in the NBA. He be ratting on cats coming to the game. Yo,
he's
pretty
clean
off,
and funky, don't he?
Nah, I do. And second off, my man Kevin Durant, yo, Kevin Durant is that dude because my man must got a deal. He must got his own parachute line because what's up with the big backpack homie be wearing to the press game, John? It's like a parachute. So my man got his own parachute line. He got his own parachute line. Just try to shout out to KD for that. But
dude still lives
right now,
like he's in a dorm. Like he's in a dorm.
Exactly.
Freshman year.
Like you got to get in the cypher and start freestyling with.
Do you guys think of anything to all the Russell Westbrook bashing that's going on lately? Like everybody's saying that he shoots too much and he needs to know his place because he's playing with KD. What do you think it is? You think he's just trying to prove that I'm a superstar on that level too?
I think that it's going to be a small, like different version of the Shaq and Kobe incident. You got two alpha dogs, and you know, he on some stuff like, yo, I'm that dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, sometimes coming down. Now, I heard some people say, well, you have to look at Durant's been being locked up defensively. Yo, it's time. He don't even look for him.
Here's a question for you. Do you think, I don't even want to, you know, jump way ahead, but do you think that he's going to re-sign there when the time comes? Or does it just look like he doesn't want to be in Durant's shadow? They say they get along, but I saw him arguing on the court the other day.
Shaq and Kobe said they got along, too. But, yo, my thing is, It is me. Yo, and first of all, shout out to my homie Roy from the Broad Street line because he was talking about this yesterday. He compared it to Diddy and Biggie. Like, yo, you got to know your role, right? If Big is that dude, let him shine, yo. And it's the same thing. Like, yo, he don't it reminds me, like, he don't want him to shine. Like, Kevin Durant's your best player. Yo, there's no way you should take, like, 12 to 13 more shots than him. Playing point guard.
I'll tell you one thing. If he wasn't gunning – oh, my fault. I was just going to say real quick, if he wasn't gunning like that in game four, it might not have been three overtimes because he was missing shots in the regulation and in the end of the first overtime that he should have been looking for KD more. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. His game is, like, skittish. It's like he goes on these, like, periods where he just starts shooting and just, like, gunning crazy. But, I mean, he's so athletic and he is talented. But I'm like, yo, KD leads the league in scoring. Like, he's the best scorer in the league. I think you got to defer to him a little bit. He's the star.
Yo, he's the back scoring leader.
Some of it is the fact that he got Mike Conley checking him, and Mike Conley is like Kevin Ollie 2.0. And it's like, come on, man, I got Kevin Ollie 2.0 checking me. I got to get 40.
No, but it's not just that. Because he started this before this series. He started that. And the thing is,
Jimmy, while we say that KD is your best player, Russell Westbrook might not think that way.
I don't think he does think that way.
Better than this beanpole.
And I think part of it is KD's personality. He's not one of these guys who's gonna get up in your face. He's no Perkins, so to speak. He's not. He's not going to get in your face or anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, y'all, when me and Dev coached against Kevin Durant when he was in high school, he was in the 10th grade, and there were some other guys on there who got college scholarships. To be honest, I barely remember. I mean, he started and he hit some buckets, but we barely remember his impact than his other guys. Now, talent-wise, he obviously was way better than all of them, but he kind of, like, took a tertiary role on that team.
And
also, once again, like, we're not really going to discuss how much we lost by that game. So, you know, maybe that's why we didn't notice, because every 2 seconds somebody was laying the ball up. But
I think that's part of it. You don't have
thing.
That, like, yo, give me the rock. Yo, give me the rock. Like, you're not going to do that. You're not going to play for the Lakers and not give Kobe the ball. All
right, so what's going on with Memphis? Because Mark Gasol and Zach Randolph have been dominating the playoffs, but this last game, it was looking kind of shaky. You had Zach Randolph in a little bit of foul trouble.
It's the Kendrick Perkins, man.
Do you think they can
shutting it all down?
You think they're going
to Kendrick Perkins
game?
Got all that. Yeah, he got all that.
You think?
I tell you one thing. Kendrick Perkins might have the worst offensive game in the history of basketball.
Yeah, he stinks.
Yo, he's worse than Kevin. Now, every time he gets the ball, it's a walk, a double dribble, a travel. Like, you know,
Yo, you're forgetting Joel Anthony. He airballed 4 dunks this year.
Yo, Joel was getting off last year, though. Joel came to play.
Brad, am I lying?
And he's 7'27", and he airballed.
I don't know how. I can't dunk, and I don't know how you airball a dunk.
Joel was balling in the Celtics series, yo. He put in work.
With the Grizz, though, I mean, obviously they're a team that's dominated by their bigs. So when their bigs produce, then they have obviously a way better chance of success. You figure in game 5, Gasol had 15 points, Randolph had 9. They're not going to win with 24 points coming out of those two guys. So, yeah. I mean, it looked like, I don't know. Jimmy said Kendrick Perkins, but I know he said that tongue in cheek. But
the bottom line is that the Grizzlies can't shoot. So
right.
If their bigs are not getting off, then, you know, it's a rhythm thing. Their jump shooters aren't making shots and it's over. That's their weakness. If they would have picked up Paja, then, you know.
And in game 5, go ahead, Dan.
No, I was about to say, had they picked up Paja, his back would have went out on him.
Probably. the Paja got picked up by the Mavericks for like 3 stacks.
And a Honda Accord. Cool. In game 5, the Thunder, the Grizzlies just look, I don't know if the 3 overtime game had anything to do with it or not, but they just looked like they didn't have any energy. Like, all the 50-50 balls were going to the Thunder. It's just like the Grizz look, I don't know, they just look a step
I think they look like the Grizz, finally.
I think
they look like what they are supposed to be and not what they've been overachieving to be. But that Heat series, so what do you think about LeBron? First of all, why did they beat the Celtics? And why did they beat them so easy?
I saw the Celtics make a lot of mistakes. I'll go back not to this game, but the game before the Celtics' last loss. There was some talk about the last play of that game where Paul Pierce was on the wing. Kevin Garnett was supposed to set a screen, and then Ray Allen was supposed to come up and flare to the wing. Now, remember, these guys have been playing together for seasons. And then we ended up dissing Paul Pierce for taking a fadeaway because it looked like a terrible shot. KG never came up and set the screen. So it wasn't really his fault. So that's just one example of the type of mistakes that the Celtics were making to really give the Heat the game. And then also, Rondo's injury – because he wasn't really able to be an offensive factor after his elbow got taken off his body. So,
hey, B. Austin,
you know,
I think my opinion is the minute Rondo went down with that injury, the series was over.
Yeah, I can see that because he wasn't able to force him out there to play.
Like, is a one-handed Rondo that good that you have to force him out there and he can't?
Yeah.
And this is what irks me in the NBA. Why are they not pressuring him to go left if he's only using one arm?
I don't know.
But,
I said, yo,
Because we used to force people left back in the day, regardless if they had two strong Popeye arms. We was always forcing them left.
First off, the thing is, I thought the game was over before. I thought the series was over before Rondo got hurt. I actually picked the Heat to win in six, and they won in five. Because I just think that the Heat are too athletic for the Celtics. If you look at how the Celtics won, they changed their entire team. When they won the championship, they had more athletic players, or as my man Barkley likes to say, athletic. But Shaq gave them nothing. Jermaine O'Neal gave them nothing. Those dudes are old sticks.
Troy Murphy, Nenad Kerstic, and Jeff Green, they had all those.
Yo, they have no athleticism on that team. Yo, and the Heat
right.
play lockdown
Jeff
defense
Jeff
when
Green.
They want to.
Jeff Green is a pretty athletic dude, but let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this then, Jimmy, because I kind of go with Dev in that Rondo can abuse Bibby. Any of us can abuse Bibby, but he never got the chance to once his arm came out of socket.
Dribble penetration by the point guard was the Heat.
I get that.
It demoralizes their defense. It definitely does.
But remember, he got hurt in what game? He got hurt in game three?
Yo, Wade should have got a check. Wade should have got something for that because that was an MMA-type takedown with
it
no
was.
Basketball intent. He
DDT'd him like Jake the Snake Roberts used to do. But
But here's the thing, though, Austin, to answer your question, yo, Rondo was healthy games one and two, and he did none of that. What you're talking about?
Well, in games one, he had a bad game, and I give any human being, even Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson, the license to have one bad game. But you're not if you're Rajon Rondo facing Mike Bibby and Mario Chalmers, you're not going to have a consistently bad series. He was going to cook Bibby at some point.
But I don't
think the Heat played great team ball, and a lot of times they didn't even stick Bibby on him. But go ahead, though, Dev.
I don't really think it's about Rondo per se. I think Doc Rivers would have made the adjustment and made him, you know, try to penetrate and kick out to open shooters. But with his arm being that way, you know, he was trying not to get the dude touched. I just didn't realize. I didn't understand why they were forcing him out there so
much.
He
was screaming at him in games one and two, push it, push it, push it. Dude wasn't listening, and the thing about it is, if you look at the series, a lot of times D Wade was on him. It wasn't even Bibby. So, you know, it's about team defense, and the Heat are one of the best defensive teams in the league. Like the Heat and the Bulls are like the two best defensive teams.
I don't disagree with that, but it's been documented that the Heat's one weakness. They are a great defensive team, but their one weakness is penetration from the point guard, and the Boston Celtics did not do that this series.
They missed Nate Robinson. The Celtics missed Nate Robinson coming off the bench lighting jokers up.
That too. And Kendrick Perkins. Because often, to answer your question, ever since they made the Perkins trade, even before this series when they played the Heat, Rondo didn't abuse Bibby then. You know, the thing about it is, you know, you're saying he has this ability, but they don't even stick Bibby on him. You keep saying Bibby. When they're sticking weight on him, Bibby's not on him.
Okay.
For me, it doesn't matter who they're sticking on him. They just need it. That's the way to beat the Heat defense, because like Jimmy said, the Heat played great team defense when they put their minds to it. But, like from the beginning of the season, one of their Achilles' heels was guard penetration. So, I mean, I don't care if Wade's on you, Bibby's on you, whoever. You got to get into the lane and force dudes to double down and kick out to people like Ray Allen. But my
whole thing is I don't think whether he was healthy or not it would have mattered. Like, I thought they were going to beat them regardless just because of the athleticism
I'm not saying that they wouldn't have. I'm just saying I just knew it was over. Like,
it wouldn't
maybe,
have been.
Yeah.
It wouldn't
I'm
have
like,
been,
maybe these
it would
cats
have been
don't win
no
a game
chance at that point. Wouldn't have been 4-1. It wouldn't
Once
have been 4-1.
Perkins.
With your eyes watching that game, Jimmy, did you see Boston penetrating?
Didn't have the ability to. But the thing is, they didn't have the ability to. The Heat were locking them down. And even beyond that, listen, I knew the series was over before the series started. Once they traded my man Perkins, it was over.
So what about Boston? What do they do with that team? I mean, Doc said he's probably coming back. We know Rondo's there, but do they blow that up and start over?
I don't think you blow it up.
You can keep the big three, but you got to get more athletic on the
That's exactly my point. That's exactly my point. And it's sort of like I told y'all. I told y'all that Shaq wasn't giving in nothing. Yo, Shaq is collecting checks now.
Shaq should be, man.
yo, I feel sorry for him because, like, at this point, at this point, I see, like, young cats who don't know what Shaq used to be. So all they see is this Shaq now who's hobbling up and down the court. And it's like
they
sad.
They didn't even get a chance to see Shaq get pooped on by my man Hakeem.
I agree.
Haven't seen Shaq when MVP's a three. Go ahead.
The whole notion that the media takes of blowing up a team after a playoff loss and a boxer retiring after a loss, like, everybody's just jumping the gun. They're good enough to be in the second round. You know,
I don't pay that no mind.
Yeah, that,
that's
why would you blow in the Eastern Conference the way it is now? Why would you blow?
Yeah,
them?
That's what them four letters do. That's what them four letters do. They're idiots, yo.
So
they're
why'd the Lakers get swept, man?
I'm going to tell you why the Lakers get swept.
Hey, Jimmy,
Andrew
Bynum,
on
this, man. What happened to your boys, man?
Andrew Bynum should have made that forearm shiver. He hit him with the Dusty Rhodes. He should have hit him with the Dusty Rhodes forearm shiver in game one. But anyway, the reason the Lakers lost is all because of off-the-court activities. I don't know if you guys have heard everything that's going on, but, you know, Kobe's bird is causing all kinds of trouble. How can you win a series when your two best players, they said Powell and Kobe didn't haven't even spoke in about a month.
They say he won't talk to Kobe because of Vanessa.
Before we finish this, let's take this call we got on the line. 310-259. You're in the war room. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Oh, Mama G, baby.
Oh, what up?
What's up, homie?
Did that look familiar?
What up,
homie?
The LA native is on.
Let us know what happened, man. Why'd that sweep happen, man?
Hey, man, it's a lot of rumors in the street. All I know is this. Vanessa Head is wanted on the streets, yo. The Mexican community, the black community, and the white community are looking for signs with her head on them. No joke.
What I hear, she was talking about, like, Jimmy, what you said, she was talking about Powell doing other stuff outside of his relationship.
Yeah.
And that's why his girl broke up with him, and that's why Powell was playing like a biatch the whole time.
Yo, you see Phil.
Like, y'all give him that
excuse. Phil Jackson.
Like, man up.
Phil Jackson hitting with the Ric Flair. Hitting with the Ric Flair, y'all. Woo!
Hitting with a couple body shots. I ain't never seen that much animation out of Phil, man. Not in a long time.
Snap out of it, man.
Yeah,
so, is it real out there?
Nah, it's really real, man. I mean, like, L.A. is blaming Vanessa. It's some concrete to that story. It's not far-fetched from the truth. I know that for sure.
Powell
all but admitted it, though. You hear what Powell said there?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't hear.
He said, I have to learn to, like, let stuff that goes on outside of basketball not interfere with how I play.
Something
to what Bynum was saying about people not trusting each other. Remember when Bynum was talking? And
yeah,
everybody
he was speaking code.
He
wasn't talking about on the court. Hey,
yeah.
Now, this is a question I got for you. With Kobe's stature out there, like, are people really going to take action against his wife, like, with him being the man out there, or she don't get a pass for being Kobe's wife?
Nah, bro, it's not. I mean, Kobe's always safe, no question about it, but, dude, like, a lot of people is upset. Not even fans. I mean, you got to think about that organization, man. It's a lot of money lost because of her. You know what I mean? And Kobe...
Yo.
If you see Kobe's attitude when he's playing, when have you ever seen Kobe watch Gasol play that soft without getting in his grill?
Oh, because of the personal beef, he probably didn't feel comfortable. If he didn't talk to him like that, Gasol might have stole him for real. The whole teammate big brother thing was out the window.
Rumor is that they had a lot of words about each other's girls in the locker room, and they had to come between them. So to keep the peace, I mean...
You know what? That's the problem on their team, man. The team-wise, team girlfriends, because Chloe and what's her name already don't like each other, Vanessa. So now you got
Chloe
this
and Vanessa. Vanessa bringing the team down. Yo, Vanessa is the team cancer, it sounds like.
Because you're right, Dan. Do you remember
what the mailman said back when the Lakers beat the championship?
Exactly.
And Karl Malone was like, yo, Chip, keep getting
just
in my business.
Yeah.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
I know that. Karl Malone played with him? Remember what happened?
Yeah, they
Karl Malone
they
and Gary Payton played. They had beef, and this was in the finals. And what happened? The team fell apart, and the Lakers got swept.
Karl Malone had beef with Kobe over this?
Vanessa Bryant should be getting an NFL award for Offensive Player of the Year for a lineman because she's getting her block on, basically.
Yo, first of all, her new name is Yoko Bryant.
Mark Cuban probably giving her big checks on the low.
Hey, this is what I was telling somebody earlier, though.
Like, some women, they think, because look, these dudes are on the road and they're always with each other. So, you know, with the wives dynamic, most of the time, it's either you don't like the other chicks or you become best friends with the other chicks. So I was saying to somebody earlier, like, do you think it's a situation where Vanessa gets really close to some of these women? So, you know, she feels that it's her duty to tell them stuff that she shouldn't be telling them, or that's exactly what's going on.
I blame Kobe. Kobe probably was giving some pillow talk. Like, let me tell you what Powell did on the road.
That's the only way. You know, a lot of dudes do that. They dry snitch. A lot of dudes tell stuff about their homies. It is dry snitching.
They snitch to their homies just because they're trying to, like, keep themselves out of trouble.
But I'm saying, not even necessarily snitching, but just telling their business that shouldn't be told. And, you know, they might not even have malicious intent.
You got to realize about Kobe, too. Kobe ain't been around a lot of men in his life. I mean, you know, dry snitching is, you know, he got a trail of that anyway. So, you know, I don't know if Kobe knows the man code.
Yeah, he probably
knows. Well, he violated it back in the day. I mean, a few years back.
He's still learning it all the time. So he probably don't know nothing about that. But, oh, we're about to move on. Thanks for your call. But, look, before you hang up, tell everybody about the page for the school now. Y'all got a Facebook page, right?
Oh, man, definitely. Come to the Dave Bing Academy, www.davebingacademy.org. Come on, be a member. We're doing a major celebrity basketball game September 8th. If you're in L.A., come on through. We got all the celebrities and NBA players coming out to show their support. And also we got a major gala with Tyler Perry and Jamie Foxx in the red carpet September 8th. And the basketball game is June 18th, my fault. And come on out and support. But come online and support Facebook. Just type in Dave Bing Academy of Finance. Come on the page, like it, and show your support.
Donate. We got to educate your kids, so throw your donations. All right, oh, good luck.
All right,
thanks,
bro.
All right.
No problem.
All right, homie.
It's crazy out there in L.A. I mean, that took up some time on some of the stuff because we were going to talk about Bynum and his he did apologize to J.J. Barea for giving him the forearm shiver. But a lot of people getting on him saying it's basically too little, too late. But at the same time, LeBron apologized for the decision like 6 months later. He's not really getting too much flack for that. So, you know, it's a little bit of a double standard out there in the league.
I think his punishment is enough, man.
He's losing like $700,000 in South.
Dad, you're absolutely right. I think that LeBron should apologize to us for that Red Lobster dribble he had after the steal last night.
I thought I was the only one that saw that. Yo, he picked the ball up and turned around.
Started up again like it was nothing. Shout out to my homie Corey. Yo, he straight picked the rock up, turned around.
Yo, and David Stern was on the phone with the refs in their ears simultaneously. Yo, don't call that.
He should apologize to us and Dr. Naismith. Go ahead, there.
Since we're talking Lakers, I got some questions for y'all. We got... We love it! Where do the champs go from here? Because just like I said with the Celtics, you know, everybody's out there, they got to blow it up, they got to do this, but, I mean, I don't think a team that you just last week were favoring to win the NBA title... Now all of a sudden they lay an egg and everybody's saying how they got to blow the team up. Now what we just talked about, Omar on the phone, that's a whole different story. But let's just take it back to strictly basketball. Let's act like Vanessa Bryant never dry snitched. Go ahead, Jimmy. My thing is this,
and you know, my childhood hero was on TV with a straight picnic napkin on for a shirt, talking about blow the team up, and that's Magic Johnson. Who for those who don't know.
But here's my problem with that. Here's my problem with this, right? Magic, like I said, is my childhood hero, my favorite player of all time. He never three-peated. And we consider that he had a great run in the 80s, but the they didn't three-peat. So my thing is, because this kid, they won to three straight championships. They laid the egg, like you said. So now you want to blow it up. Dog, come on, man. Like I said, I don't remember them ever three-peating. There's no sense in blowing it all up. Now, you do have pieces. So I'm not going to say if you can't get Dwight Howard, don't do it, because if you can get Dwight Howard, you got to do it. You got to get younger. But if you can't get a Dwight Howard, you have to blow this whole thing up.
That's all on Dwight. Like, he holds the cards in this situation. I was trying to explain that to somebody I was talking to the other day, because they're not going to have to give up much to get him. I'm not saying that Andrew Bynum isn't much, but you're swapping the same position. So you're not losing when Andrew Bynum
walks. You're actually gaining.
Oh, Dwight Howard is the best center in the game.
Yeah, and here's the kicker. Dwight Howard only makes $3 million more than Andrew Bynum, so y'all don't have to give up much more when, you know, if the signing trade is made. You're not going to have to give up too much more. Well, I take that back. If
it's
a signing trade,
yeah,
he's going to
sign. I think they're going to throw in Gilbert with him. Gilbert going to have that purple and gold on. They're going to say, we give you Dwight. You got to take this ball with you, too.
He make too much money, though. He would also
they
the trade
gonna,
for
yeah.
Four or
more. Yeah, they're going to make him put something
off. I don't see the Lakers take Gilbert's contract.
Yo,
I don't see Odom either. I see them giving up like I don't think it'll be like Bynum in a major piece. Maybe Bynum and a Shannon Brown, or maybe a Bynum, Shannon Brown, and one more dude. But I don't think, because I think like with the Knicks situation, the player holds the card. So if Dwight wants to be a little smarter than Carmelo, and he doesn't want the team that he's going to be gutted just because he's coming, he could force the hand of the trade. However, they
yeah,
you know.
Because the thing is, Orlando remembers what happened last time we took their big man when they had Shaq. They ended up with nothing.
Three chips.
And the thing is, Shaq told them. The thing is, Shaq told them to trade him. They didn't want to. They tried to call Shaq's bluff, and Shaq bounced on them. And they ended up with nothing. So I think they still remember that, because Shaq straight told them, "I'm not signing here. I want to go play in L.A." They said, "No, you gonna sign here?" And Shaq bounced on them, took like less
you're
money because
right.
you know. It's crazy. So the thing is, they remember that. They're not going to go through that again in terms of losing their player. So look
right.
at Dwight.
Dwight says he wants to go to L.A. He will be there before the trade deadline in February. And they'll be right back in contention for a title. And my point is, they'll still be in contention for a title if the team stay pat. You know,
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Next year. I think I would like to say why somebody – this whole Dallas thing was a matchup thing, man. They ran into the wrong team matchup wise, and their
and
defense
also,
they don't run out on 3-point shooters.
I have
when
no
team,
way to prove this. I hate. I'm a Laker hater, but I still think if you play that series again and Powell's inspired and he balls and they play a little bit better defense, I don't think that the Lakers would lose that. I don't think
yeah.
even if you don't blow the team up, you keep the team exactly the same. Maybe add a few pieces on the perimeter. I don't think they lose that series, man. I don't think that.
They need the machine.
Yo, look at how many. How do you leave Dirk, Kaja, and Jason Terry open for three pointers over and over? I don't.
That's not athleticism.
Yeah.
That's not talent. That's just undisciplined defense and lack of effort.
And yo, and Doc Bay, some of them threes, he wasn't open. They were just shooting unconscious. Pager hit 10 threes with like 6
Dallas
hands in his feet.
Yeah, Dallas,
yeah,
especially Jason Terry in that last game, man.
And,
that just was ridiculous.
Yo,
them dudes was just
they
hot.
They kept leaving Dirk open at the top of the key. They kept leaving Pager open in the corner, but he was one game he was missed. I forgot what game it was, but Pager missed like 5 open threes in the corner, and then the next game he was just on.
Yo, and the thing is, they were unconscious. Dallas was making threes all over the place. So the thing is, you live by the three, you die by the three.
One thing I would do with the Lakers, if I was doing anything, I would keep everything intact. I might add a little bit more, like the Brad said, athleticism on the perimeter or at the point guard position, if possible. But other than that, I don't see why you would blow them up. I mean, they got
it.
Fish is
no longer a starter. Yo, Fish couldn't guard none of us talking on this call right now.
Yeah,
yo, Fish
he's a liability. He's an extreme liability, guys.
Yo, but he can come off the bench, though. He'd be a good backup.
Here's the million dollar
good
question.
And what's up?
Here's the million dollar question. Is Kobe in decline?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in decline.
I think so.
Body-wise, I think every player will. Yeah, but I think that anybody who's going to get older is definitely going to slow down. Like, there are going to be elements of the game, especially the explosion and athleticism, that's going to go away. But Kobe is a decent, is a good shooter. He's a better than average shooter for a, like, a wing type of talent, like a talent that's coming off the wing. He's a bit, because when people compare him to Jordan, I think he shoots a lot better than Michael Jordan does. I mean, did. I think Kobe is a decent shooter. And because he has that aspect of his game, and he can get his shot, and if he gets to the elbow, see, well, another thing Kobe does very well, even though he's not as explosive and his step isn't as fast as it used to be, is he gets to his spots when he wants to get to them. And if he gets to those spots, he's making them shots, cuz. Like, it's amazing when you look at dude. And he has a post game. So there are elements of his game that are going to allow him to remain competitive for a while.
But I do agree with you, PJ, but to answer Dev's question, yes, he is on a downturn because there's only so many miles you can put on your body. And
but that's
like,
what I'm saying.
You know,
everybody is.
We got a call in line. Before I take this call, let me give you guys one stat from this series. Kobe had one layup in four games.
MJ was still punching on cats consistently at 32. MJ was still punching on cats at 32.
Yeah,
Kobe,
but Kill, MJ didn't
Kobe
play.
Did in the league.
He didn't come in the league when he was 18, though.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
True.
Barely.
Exactly.
Yeah, he didn't come in the league. Like,
he was 17, I think.
He was 17 when he came into the league.
Yeah, he was 17 when he got here.
Let's take this call real quick. Hold on one second.
And dude got a lot of playoff.
813-298, you're in the war room. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What's good, man? It's Willie, man.
Willie,
girl?
What's up, Will?
Willie, another Laker fan in the house. What you going to say about
what's
your
What's up, Willie? Do work.
Willie, what you want, Willie? Man, the only thing the Lakers is missing, you don't have to blow anything up. We need a productive point guard.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, Derek Fisher is not a starting point guard anymore. And Steve Blake is not a good backup point guard to run that system.
Hey, Willie, let me ask you a question, Willie. Who would have ever thought that we missed Jordan Farmar?
That's exactly. Jordan Farmar and Sasha Vujicic.
The machine!
Listen, y'all saying anymore. I'm not even trying to be smart. I'm not saying this for last. I've never thought that Derek Fisher was a starting point guard.
Was better than him.
I never thought that he was a starting point guard.
When you're playing
along the triangle system.
When you're playing with Kobe and Shaq. Yeah, like Jimmy said, with the triangle, he doesn't even have to handle the ball that much.
Yeah, so I think that he fit in. But I think at this point, even with the triangle, I think he's lost a step. Like, you know, he made a lot of big shots for us. Fisher has made a lot of big clutch shots. So, you know, he was needed, but he's not even doing that no more. He just looks old. He's slow, and, you know, he can't even play in a triangle no more.
Yeah. So, Will, you think Kobe's on the decline?
I think he got I'll give Kobe about 3-4 more years left. The only reason I say that is because, just like I was saying, Kobe is one of them smart players. So he got a high basketball IQ, so he hit you with the old man moves instead of trying to dunk over you all the time.
Yeah.
Right. But
when he scored all the points, with the Wizards, he was hitting with the old man game. You can't stop that.
Yeah.
Well,
talking about Duncan, he doesn't even – now, it may have been the ankle, because, you know, a lot of people tried to downplay that just because he had a good performance on it and his adrenaline cracked on a few dudes in the last series, but – you know, I don't know if it was the ankle or not, but he just doesn't, or in this playoff series, didn't go to the hole at all.
But he seems to get dinged up more. He's getting all his
players more involved than anything.
Because here's my thing, though. He's getting dinged up all the time. But the thing is this, though. It depends upon what they do. Like I said, if Dwight wants to come here and you can get Dwight, you do that. Now, if that does happen, I think that helps Kobe play those 3 or 4 more years. But playing with this lineup, being the best player and the go-to guy, I don't know if he can, like, you know, because at the end of the day, you like, his body's breaking down.
They can go together and see the Wizard Hakeem during the offseason.
Exactly. Jimmy and Will, what I was going to say, I was talking to our homie Jeremy Quinn about this. I was like, yo, I think Kobe is preserving his body.
body to probably play a good solid 5 years at a little bit lower level, as opposed to just going real hard and then only having 3 years left and his body breaking down, but he might put up better statistics and it may win more. I think he's kind of putting it on cruise control to try to extend his career as long as possible.
Just smart.
Yeah, but if you do that, you need your
30 and 40 points for the team to win.
Right. Yeah, if you do that, you need your teammates, your cohorts to come and play with you though. Like if you running around worried about your chick and you ain't playing ball, Kobe can't be on cruise control.
Wasn't this whole Vanessa issue. They might, like Brad said, I think it would have been much more of a competitive series. I mean,
it would have been a Lakers game tonight.
Powell,
they still would have been playing.
Nothing. Yo, Powell was doing absolutely nothing. In that
me?
Game.
I mean,
like,
yo, if
they wouldn't have hit them three, if they wasn't so unconscious from 3-point land, all the games would have been, they would have been closer than what they were, because a lot of the games were close even though they hit a lot of threes.
Well, but it was up by 16 points in the first game.
Because I bet you Dallas won't keep shooting that way.
That's what I'm saying.
I think the biggest point in all this is that, yo, the chick that Powell was messing with must have had some mean Uchi Wally, because Powell lost that and he just, like, forgot about everything. Cause
you would have thought he would have went to his side chick and kept it rolling.
She must have had that,
off.
Yo, she had
it
that
wasn't
sunshine.
Even his
wife.
Hey, Will, we're
that
about
sunshine.
To sign off in a minute, man, so thanks for your call, man.
All right,
Willie,
man.
Do work, homie.
All right, do work, though.
Yo,
all right, so Jim,
with him
deteriorating, Jim, how many more years you think he got being competitive, Kobe? Because I think he got more than two or three.
I think it depends upon who's around. Well, it depends upon what you say is competitive. Like, we're talking about competing for a championship, being the best player on a championship team.
Right. He doesn't necessarily have to be the best. I don't know if he's going to average 25 or 26, but I think he can average, like, 20. I think he can give you, like, 19 or 20 for, like, another four years.
I mean, Bryant being top
15 in scoring, and getting on the court and cats being scared of getting embarrassed that night.
But I'm talking about competing for a title. Forget his statistics. I'm talking about being able to compete and be the best player.
But to be honest with you, Jimmy, as an individual player, you could be a 14-point per game scorer and still be competitive. I mean,
I get what you're saying, but that's my point. My point is it depends upon what happens around him. Because the bottom line is, outside of this, the Lakers are old.
If they get the right coach,
what you're talking about, Jimmy, is the team, is the Laker team. We talking about the individual Kobe Bryant as he stacks up against, you know, whether you want to say the young guns and Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Melo, D Rose, or the Jordans and the Dominiques of the world. Where do you see him
I think he's still an elite player, but he's on a downswing
Is Kobe better than Dwayne Wade right now?
Yeah. Right now, no.
And what are you talking about? In terms of a skill set or just in terms of...
Just right now, who would you take? Kobe, you got 1 year.
Well, right
Kobe
now, I'd probably take Dwayne Wade from the age. I mean, if I have a team, I'd probably go with Dwayne Wade just because of the age and Kobe and the mileage.
Kobe has played an entire season of playoff basketball. Because not only has he played a lot of years, but he's got deep into the playoffs so many times. So he has a lot of mileage. But I'm just saying that we were talking about in terms of the team. In terms of the team, if they get some young guys around, they do get the D Howard, because that looks like what everybody's talking about. If they get that, it can prolong his career, and I can see him winning more titles, you know, and being competitive. Because, I mean, I don't care whether he scores 25 a game or 20 a game. The bottom line is when you play for the Lakers, you play to win championships, not to make the playoffs.
Every team you do, that's the goal. But what I'm just saying is I was just looking at Kobe more so than the whole organization.
Because,
I mean, they're going to make some changes. We just don't know what they're
going to
be yet.
We don't have mutually aligned interests here. You want to see your Lakers get to the chip? I tune into the Lakers to see Kobe Bryant go for 40 or more and embarrass whoever's guarding.
Well, you got to sign up. I'm going to go, fellas. Let's get out of here, Yoshi. One more shout out to my homie Yogi Berra. But yo, thanks everybody for joining us in the war room this evening. As usual, we hope you had a good time tonight. We always do. Tune in next week, right here at 6:00, for another great episode of the greatest sports show from here to Tatooine.
As usual, we'll be catching up on all the big stories of the week of sports. We'll be giving you the real. So tune in next week and every week, because if not, I'm going to smack the shit. You never want to miss that guy. We out.
They get the White Howard, they back like the Knicks. We out.
Yo, if they don't
like
want to come,
career.
You can't.
It's only like 5% out of 100. Do it, baby. Through the lights, cameras in action, glamour, glitters, and gold. I unfold the scroll, plant seeds, and stampede the glow when I'm deceased. But then the beast arrives like yeast to conquer peace, leaving savages to roam in the streets, live on the run. Police paying me to give him my gun. Trick my wisdom with the system that imprisoned my son. Smoke a gold leaf, I hold heat nonchalantly. I'm grungy, but things I do is real, it never haunts me. Wow, funny style, niggas rolling a pal. Booster heads profile on a bus to Rikers ass. Holding weed inside they pussy with their minds on the pretty things in life. Props is a true thug's wife, it's like a cycle. Niggas come home, some will go in, do a bullet, come back, do the same shit again. From the womb to the tomb, presume the unpredictable. Gun salute life rapidly, that's the ritual.
Perhaps bullets bust, niggas discuss mad money, true lies, and white guys. We can see it through the eyes, catch the most on tape. Kilos disintegrate, Pyrex spots, we break fiends looking plates. In the building, niggas building, like little children staring. Older niggas ain't caring. Sirens circling, fiends are lurking in your bag. It's all ones going down. What? Smack him in his cabbage in the woodwork. Crack sales bubble like Woolworths in the project. Richest niggas rocking all the real work. Police questioning. Rooftops, yes, investing in. Trading in their Lexuses. GS is sending messages. Two and two make four. Cristal's crazily poor. Gun wars, my crew fail them like swords.
With the green levers, 100-pound snakes and cakes. Fiends found in lakes. Jealousy jakes. We shake. What I strive for is what I live for. Infatuated by material thing in this wildlife for warlike somewhere over the rainbow. I see a big pot of gold, juice of sack, so I hold thousands of crack bag up inside the shoebox. Don't keep Jack in my lap, don't want to see Tupac. Got two spots of new lock, fluttering rocks, shootouts making me hot. Crooked cops, bad Tony in the ball drop. In and now, I'm banging niggas, block time. Hurry up, Duke, I'm next online. And what the fuck is you looking at? By the way, young blood, hit me off with that green bay hat. Watch it back inside the hall. New niggas fly through like doors, yo. They're staring in the mess on your adrenaline run. Cigarette niggas be swindling. New jacks surrendering. Come home not remembering. Made bail with different size kicks on. I'm